So how you feel coming back to West Michigan and seeing all this ballpark again?
I tell you what, the place looks great. And, you know, I was in talking with the coaching staff, and they seem to have the boys playing pretty good. So, no, it's nice to come back. I was trying to remember when the last time I was here, but I think I was in Grand Rapids with the Tiger Caravan, but I don't know if I ever really made it back to the ballpark. So it's fun. It's nice to be back and see everybody.
Yeah, to be back in a minor league park. You're out of coaching now after a number of years. Just being back in it, do you miss it a lot?
Well, I didn't think I missed it until I walked into the ballpark here today. I was talking with Mike Henneman up there, and Mike says, do you miss being away? And I said, you know, I really didn't miss it too much till I walked through that parking lot and come in here and saw the field and the guys getting ready to take BP. And I said, that's kind of hit home with me. And sure, you do miss it. I mean, you just don't walk away from the game and not miss it. But, you know, I have a lot of things to keep me busy, but I miss the game, yeah.
Chance of you coming back?
Oh, yeah. I would never close the door on getting back in the game. I still feel 60 years old. I'm still a fairly young fella, so it's not like I'm ready to roll over and die and keel off somewhere. So I could surface again somewhere.
Are you enjoying your year off?
Yes, I am. It's been a while since I had a summer off, I guess, to pick and choose what I feel like doing. And it's been fun catching up on a lot of things that I need to do at home in Pennsylvania. But, you know, it is. It's kind of nice to just relax and kick back, not have to worry about a bus ride or a plane somewhere. But you certainly miss a lot of parts of the game.
Tom, I remember when you first was hired as the Whitecaps manager, you had been away from the game for a couple of years after your retirement. And he says, I was away from it, and I wanted to get back a little bit. What have you learned between then and through the end of last year that sort of gave you a different perspective about this game?
Well, I think you never really take anything for granted. You know, when I was away from the game as a player and until I got back in, and I guess it was 04 or 05 when I got back into the managing side, you know, I think I took a little things for granted that, you know, maybe I'll get back, maybe I won't, and you just kind of play it out. But fortunately, I was able to get back in the game, and I had 10 good years there in the coaching and the managing, and I'm blessed to have been able to do it. But I think when you're out this time, you think about it a little more seriously than you did before, and maybe it's my age, maybe being older, but you know, if I wanted to get back at it, I understand that it's the window's probably not going to be quite as long as it was before.
Talk a little bit about this particular year, 2014. Not so much for Tom Brookins being away from the game, but 2014, and this is a number of activities involving the 30-year anniversary of the World Championship team. Has it been a sort of a reminiscing time, or is it more of a, well, yeah, it's there, it's really more for the fans than really for us?
It's a combination, honestly, I'd say. You know, when we had a little gathering over at Comerica Park here the last month, and it was a 30-year reunion. It was great to see some of the players off, the teammates off of the team, and get together with them and reminisce and tell some lies about how good we were and we never did anything wrong and all that. But a lot of it is fan-oriented, certainly is. I mean, I think some of the things that went on at the ballpark, the fans were so cranked up, and I go, wow, man, it's amazing that 30 years later, how many people really remember the 84 season and what happened. And then maybe it's because, you know, we've been unable to win another World Series, and that keeps everything special. But any 84 and any time you win a World Series, it automatically gets that stamp of special, and it becomes special, and people remember it.
Missing guys who aren't here anymore. I mean, it was Aurelio Lopez first, and now there's a couple more guys. Sparky's not around anymore. That is what makes these reunions even more special.
Well, a comment was made on that reunion there last month that, you know, if we have one in five more years on the 35th, how many of us are still going to be around? So, yeah, unfortunately, that's life, and you lose guys from year to year, and so when you go, you go with the thought that, hey, this could be my last one, and it's pretty special.
How does it feel, you know, going to, you know, seeing that Tiger Stadium is gone, and the memories of there being gone, but the memories are there?
It would be neat to have been able to go back to Tiger Stadium where you played and where it all happened, but you know, we stay over at the hotel and you look over there at the lot and see the empty lot. But, you know, you can't erase the memories out of your mind. You know, the park might be gone, but the memories in your mind are just like it happened yesterday. So it's always sad to see something like Tiger Stadium get tore down. But, you know, progress is progress. And the new park is wonderful, and it really was time. But I still enjoy the memories of Tiger Stadium. That was a pretty special place.
Tigers made the move to get David Price yesterday. What do you think about that trade?
Well, that's a pretty good trade, I think, for the Tigers. I mean, I understand the young man was playing here in Grand Rapids, the shortstop, and a real great prospect. And I always like Smiley. Drew's a good pitcher. But, you know, when you can get a David Price to come in there and go right into that rotation, I'd have to say that's a pretty good deal.
One final thing about 84 and the tenure of that team from, say, 80 through 87. Some say it was a dynasty that could have happened, dynasty lost. Do you sort of retrospect saying maybe we should have done a little bit more? Or you say, hey, you know, we had the battle of the Brewers, we had the battle of the Blue Jays, the Red Sox had Clemens coming at the end of this. It wasn't that easy.
I personally sit back sometimes and think we should have won it more than we did, you know. But I do understand that, you know, at that time the American League East was a tough division. And if you didn't have a super year, so to speak, you probably didn't win it. So I do have the thoughts that I thought, you know, 85 we should have probably been able to repeat. And, you know, even in 87 we got to the playoffs and Minnesota upset us. And so I do come away thinking sometimes we had teams that I thought we could have won, but, you know, these other guys are pretty good ball clubs too, and you can't take anything away from them. It's difficult to repeat.
I look at that 81 team, especially the second half of the season, when Gibby hit the homer against Davis, basically turned his entire career around and really sparked the team. You guys could have had Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think that year was a tough one for us because we had such a good record, and we had maybe one of the best records in baseball, and we couldn't get into the playoffs. So the strike kind of messed us up, that's for sure. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, some people say, well, I heard that 85 you thought you had a better team than 84. I said, well, I usually judge our team on wins and losses, and I'd have to say 84 was the best team I was on.
Now that you're not coaching here, have you been able to keep up on the Whitecaps and how they're doing this year?
I follow them a little bit. You know, the media today, you can find anything you want if you look. So it's not hard to keep up with them. And I see they've been having a good year and won the first half. And I'm hoping they can go ahead and finish it off and bring another championship. So I keep in touch with what's going on. I'm not up every day checking it, but I keep up on it.
I'm sure you heard about the fire here.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I got text and emailed immediately while it was going on from some people out here and talked about it, but glad no one was hurt and they got things squared away and back in action.
One final thing about the Whitecaps championship team that you had. We talk about 84 now. What about that 07 team that you guided? You know, that was a pretty special team, too.
We had a lot of good ball players at that time. You know, that to me, anytime you win, it's the players on the field. It certainly has nothing to do with the guy sitting over here. He just makes a lineup out. But, you know, we had Scotty Sizemore. We had Casey Fien. We had, I'm starting to thinking about the names that were here, you know, and guys that ended up getting into the big leagues and Tigers at that time, that summer, I really felt they could have, if they wanted to, they could have taken some of our players and maybe sent them to Lakeland, but it seemed like we were winning and they were playing and they were developing. So they left them here and we ended up having such a great season. And I did think that we had the best team, and it would have been a shame had we not won it, but Beloit was making it tough on us down there in that championship. But we had guys, you know, Charlie Furbush is another guy that made it to the big leagues, and so we had quite a few guys that were really good ball players.
Talk a little bit about, you know, we here in Michigan, and you know, as a Spartan, you have a little affinity as well. We looked at 84 as sort of a watershed year. Out west in San Diego, did they get the same feeling because it was their first championship out there?
Well, it really was. It was the beginning of history for San Diego, and that's one of the reasons I went there. After the Dodgers made me an offer I could refuse, I ended up sitting down with Ray Kroc, and he said, Stevie, call me Stevie, and he said, I think you can make a difference here. And I said, well, sir, I said, you know, to tell somebody that, you know, really inspires you. And by the second year, we end up going to the playoffs, and even though the Cubs polished us off the first two games, we're going home, and arguably we had a solid game, game three. I had my walk-off game four, and down 3-0 in game five, and we manufacture five runs, and we got Gossage for three innings. You know, no closer goes three innings anymore. But we knew the Tigers had been sitting around for a week and resting and how good they were, and it was going to be a very difficult task, and it turned out to be that way.
How important was it for you, for Ronnie Say, for Goose, for Nettles, to establish a winning culture with Dick Williams as well? Because before you guys came on board, Padres really didn't have that much of a winning tradition. You guys came in, you established a winning culture.
Well, they had some nice ball players, but culture exactly is the term. And an organization that has a culture in which you're taught the fundamentals. You're taught how to throw strikes. You're taught how to take the extra base. You're taught how to run 90 feet hard. You're taught how to dive for the ball. That leads to a consistency that breeds winning. And I always talk about my early 15 years with the Dodgers and how we won championships. That's how you win wherever you are. A lot of times you don't have to have all-stars, but a lot of guys that do the right things. And I think that's the reason why we started that history and why the Tigers won.
How important was the 84 team to San Diego baseball? Because we're talking, the Padres have a nice park in Petco Park, and they have a tradition. Yeah. The other expansion team in 69, they're playing in Washington now. They didn't get that one outside of the 1 year when you guys beat them in 81. Montreal didn't have that. How important was that 84 team to sort of establish a foundation for San Diego baseball that still continues today?
Well, I think it takes a couple of things. I think teams, you need good scouting, you need good drafting, and then you need to bring in players who understand how to win, along with a manager like Dick Williams, who ended up in the Hall of Fame. But you start learning what it takes, like I said before, to get the runner over, to bunt, to field your position. I mean, Tony Gwynn and I used to have a sign when he got on first base that the next pitch he would take off and they would go to cover and I'd poke it through the hole. Now you got guys in first and third. These are the things you need to do to sustain a long season and win a championship.
We talked to Tommy Perkins a little bit about some of the missing guys when they had their reunion in Comerica Park. 19 not around, that's a big hole for you guys, for anybody who really loves San Diego baseball.
Yeah, it really is. Tony was more than just a baseball player. He was an iconic human being and a father and a wonderful son. And my first year, first day of spring training, I'm in the back of the clubhouse in Yuma, Arizona, wondering, where's the water? No Vero Beach. And I'm jumping rope. And I'm 34 at the time. And I feel a presence, and I turn around, there's Tony. And he said, what are you doing, Garb? I said, I'm buying time. And he said, am I going to have to do this? I said, eventually. And I really, and he gave me credit for mentoring him the first years. And I would say my last couple of years, he mentored me by the amount of work he put in, by the amount of videos he watched, by all the little things he did. And I was towards the end of my career, and you start to feel it. But he actually pushed me to greater heights in my last year or two.
What do you remember most about that 84 World Series?
Well, I remember that we split in San Diego, and it's tough to come off a five-game series against the Cubs and win for the first time because you're at a euphoric high, and all of a sudden turn around and play a team like the Tigers. But I thought if we were to split and then get a day off and recoup, we might have a chance. But we split. We had a day off to recoup, and then we started facing the buzzsaws of the Tigers at the time. And it was truly their year. And I think for us it was a great learning experience for the younger players. And for Gossage and Nettles and I, it was, you know, we've been here before, and let's just play the game the right way right on through and let these kids build for the future.
Now that you're retired, what, are you a Dodgers fan, or are you a Padres fan, or a fan of another team?
Well, first of all, I'm a baseball fan. You know, I grew up as a bat boy in spring training for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Dad was a Greyhound bus driver, and through the grace of God, I get drafted by the Dodgers and spend 15 years and end up with five in San Diego and had a wonderful 20 years and played on great teams with great players and love the game. And nights like tonight, coming out to this wonderful ballpark, and I'll probably do five of them this summer. There's nothing more Americana than minor league baseball, and you'll see it tonight. You'll feel it from the fans. There'll be some old teammates come out from Michigan State, maybe a couple old girlfriends here or there. Some of my wife's family will come out, and then I'll leave on a plane tomorrow and look back and think to myself, that was a wonderful night in an area that's always been like a second home, and that's Michigan.
Let me ask you a tough question, Steve, or maybe it isn't. The Hall of Fame situation with you, Some talk about maybe you possibly getting in, but you played on the Dodger team 81. Outside of Lasorda, nobody got to the Hall of Fame. The 84 Tigers, outside of Sparky, nobody's gotten to the Hall of Fame. You guys are the two oldest teams that don't have anybody in Cooperstown. It's sort of great, a little bit like, hey, we had some great players. Maybe they should have gotten in. If not me, somebody else.
Well, God willing, I'll be on the ballot again in one more December. And I got the most votes of any player in this last expansion era ballot. I was happy for the managers that went in, happy for the players that went in this year. But I think that the Hall has to really look at that era of players, you know, like the Trammells and the Garbys and the Parkers and Morrises. Dusty Bakers that legitimately could be part of the Hall of Fame. Not unlike what the NBA and the NFL, what they do every year and put five or six guys in, and you can always make a case for all of them. But it's good for their sport. And I think it's time that the Hall of Fame, in whatever way they configure it, starts to have a player or two from that expansion era that now comes in because they want to be inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to happen, and I would be honored to be part of that.